Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. My name is Jackie Pilisoff, and I'm your host. I'm the creator and editor-in-chief of Divorce Girl Smiling, the website, the podcast, and the mobile app. When people are going through a divorce, I know for myself, one question you ask yourself a lot is, like, what am I supposed to do now? You know, I identified as a wife, maybe you don't work, and now maybe you're getting divorced and you have to go back to work and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do, or you just want to go back to work, or you work and now you kind of want to change jobs because your schedule is going to be different. There's a million different scenarios, and the bottom line is when people are getting divorced, you're kind of wondering who you are professionally. So I want to talk about reinventing yourself after divorce and how wonderful it can be. And to talk about it, I'm sitting here with my friend Kim.
Hello.
Kim Greenhiller is amazing. And Kim, I'm so excited to have you here. Thank you for doing this.
Oh, thank you.
So the reason I wanted Kim on the podcast is because Kim is a comedian by trade. She worked at Second City, and I mean, I'm going to have Kim tell you what she did, but that alone, that's like, oh, okay. So she worked at Second City, and now she is the owner of this place called the Laughing Academy, which is a school for kids and adults. And she teaches improv and comedy. And she actually had my daughter in one of her classes.
She was in the very first class, like 12 years ago.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm just so impressed with Kim and everything. Kim, everything you've done is so unbelievable. And I do think you're hilarious. I've actually heard Kim rapping at a bar late night. You're a great rapper.
That's because I love a stage and I'm tone deaf, so I had to figure out a way to get up there. So on a karaoke night, you got to have a go-to.
So Kim and I are going to talk about reinventing yourself after divorce and how wonderful it can be. And I asked Kim before this podcast, what would you call this? And she called it going from wife to the rest of your life. I love that. So either one is good. I want to hear your story, Kim. Let's start off by you telling the listeners your story because you went through a divorce and reinvented yourself. So tell me about that.
Yeah, I was a stay-at-home mom technically when I filed for divorce. My boys were 4 and 6 years old. And but I could never quite stay home. So I did a bunch of volunteer work the first year that I was trying to stay at home. And then I ended up teaching a couple of enrichment classes at my kids' preschool, and I wrote for a local magazine. But the year I filed for divorce, my tax return, my personal tax return, I had made $1,400 writing, doing these little bit pieces. So I knew I was going to have to go back to work. It was a unique situation that my ex-husband refused to move out of the house for 2 years after I filed. So that was frustrating.
Yikes.
In the meantime.
That's the word I have for that. Yikes.
Yeah. So in the meantime, when I look back and all the misfortunes when I look back turn out to be fortunes. Because what that meant is actually I wasn't responsible for the mortgage during that time, and I had a little lag time to try to figure out what to do. But I come to you to honestly say I didn't actually have a plan. I think the reason I was successful in that unusual time is because even though I didn't have a plan, I was open to anything, right? Which is actually also an improv mindset. I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to see the gift in whatever offers in front of me instead of finding the reason to say no. I find the reason to say yes.
I love that. Like, try a bunch of different things, say yes to everything, and you're going to figure out you love it and it's your path, or move on to something else.
And that's, yeah, and boy, it's just so weird, because I was writing a magazine article about a local comedy club opening, and I ended up being their biggest cheerleader unpaid. Like, I was going to make this thing a success, so I got them a bunch of stories for my magazine. I did a bunch of PR for them just on my own in social media and such. So I said, you know, amongst other things, I'll take on one night a week for free. I know talent in the city from my Second City days. We'll do that. Well, I got a weeknight, and that ended up being the only night of the week they would ever sell out because I worked it, right? And then I said, you're also making a mistake. You don't do anything until 7 o'clock in a suburb. I'm like, you have this empty space with a stage. You should be teaching classes. I can hook you up with some people to teach it. And this is crazy because I still have this email. I never said me. And they said, you know, because they've gotten to know me as I've worked so hard to help them succeed, which I failed at, but by the way, I failed at helping them succeed. But they said to me, why don't you do this? You're qualified. And I thought, well, yeah, why didn't I even think of that? I don't know why I didn't think of that. So that's where it all started. And my first proposal to them was, you'll pay me an hourly rate. But they said, no, you're going to become your own LLC. You're going to need your own insurance to do this. You know, and so already, actually, I'm at a deficit here. I had to spend money to get insurance. I had to spend money to get become an LLC, etc. But thank God I did, because it saved me.
But I think so many of these stories happen by accident, which is what sounds like with you. But it's not really an accident, because you were putting yourself out there and your creative mind was open. You were very open-minded. You wouldn't, like you said, say no to things. And you just followed your heart and your passion. And by the way, it showed, because my daughter was having girlfriend problems at that age. And she was very socially awkward. And Kim, you were a huge help to her. So thank you for that. She's doing great now.
She's amazing. But I remember her being somewhat shy, but then becoming alive on stage through these games.
So is your website thelaughingacademy.com?
It is.
Okay, that's her website, if you're interested, which I would be. Anyway, so we're talking about reinventing yourself after divorce. And as you can see, Kim did that. I did that with Divorce Girl Smiling. And what we both did is we followed our passion, we followed our hearts, and we didn't really know where it was going to lead us. It led us to, I think, are both very fulfilled in what we're doing, very happy. And, you know, obviously both of us are making money and doing well financially too. So,
and isn't it great though? Like my life is currently filled with people that I would never have known had I not done this.
Right.
And there have been times over the 12 years that my business has been threatened for one reason or another. And when I cry at like, If we simply don't decide to do it, right, none of this happens. I look over old photos and all the laughter and all the people and all the, you know, and I think if it just takes me having said no instead of yes, and none of that ever existed. Friendships. I mean, I've got kids in my high school class who met through me, some of whom have been with me since kindergarten. None of it happens if I say no. Right. It only happens if I say yes, if I'm unafraid. And I will say, in my first marriage, I would have been afraid. I would have been put down. In fact, he did put me
all
down.
All right, let's talk about that. Where did you get the courage to reinvent yourself? Where does that come from?
There was no plan. So it just, and I think it's as crazy as it sounds, being at what is in some ways your lowest point. I mean, in some ways it was a victory to leave something that wasn't working, because I think a lot of us, I can't speak for all of us, I think a lot of us keep trying and trying because we're supposed to, we're doing it for the kids, we're supposed to make a marriage work, we were raised, divorce is wrong, and so we keep trying, and so there becomes a victory at first when you say, everybody else's expectations don't matter, you know, I'm going to be a better mom if I do this, I'm going to have to stand up for myself. So you've already kind of put yourself in a good position, but then you look around and you're like, oh my God, everything that I have going for me, you know, my home, my stability, my financial situation is now in complete upheaval. And for me, that's also a low point, right? So you're at this point where what's the worst that could happen? I think it just happened.
Okay, but Kim, you know what's so interesting? There are so many women that email me and post on the Divorce Girl Smiling Facebook group, and they say, I wanted the divorce and now I don't know because reality's setting in. And just like you said, I'm worried about finances. I'm worried if I can stay in my home. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I haven't worked in 20 years or whatever. And so the fear is the driver, maybe. Maybe subconsciously you can take that fear and you can say, okay, What am I good at? What do I love to do? What makes me happy? And try to get a job or do something in that field that you like. And I truly believe the financial rewards follow that.
They absolutely, that's what I've always said. During COVID, if I didn't have to work, and I thought about this many times because I'm so glad that I did for so many reasons. But if I had a husband who said, oh, you don't have to work, I might have closed my business during that time. But I...
And you might not have recovered after COVID.
Yeah. And it would have been the end of it, actually. There's so many things.
So just so the listeners know, during COVID, when no kids were going to school, Kim opened up her doors. She social distanced the kids. They all wore masks and she taught classes. And I'm telling you, Kim, there are probably people listening going, I wish I would have known about that because, or been in the state of Illinois, you know, been around here because parents had to work. They didn't know what to do. Kids were bored. Their minds were getting like, you know, antisocial. And you saved kids and parents. And that is an amazing story. And had you not been divorced and had to reinvent yourself, none of that would have happened. So for people listening, I want you to get out of this podcast. Here's what I want people to get from Kim and I. You can do anything that you want. And all you have to do is keep an open mind and believe in yourself. Because Kim, tell me if you agree with me. When people are going through a divorce, your self-esteem is basically in the toilet. You've probably been in a bad marriage for a few years, so your spouse hasn't said anything positive. You know, you probably haven't had sex. You're not connected to the person. You're feeling isolated, alone, lonely, not good about yourself. And so you're probably thinking, well, I know for me, I was like, I've been a stay-at-home mom for like 8 years. What good am I? I don't even know how to text. I mean, that's the point I was. No belief in myself whatsoever. And then when I started opening my mind, so for people who don't know, I'm a journalist. That was my background. I worked in broadcasting and I worked for the Chicago Tribune. And so I knew how to write and I love to write and I started writing about my divorce and it has turned into Divorce Girl Smiling. And so what I want to say to you, if you're listening and you don't know what you're supposed to do, believe in yourself, keep an open mind.
Part of what I hear you saying, to me, I think of it as the difference between take a job or make a job, right? So take a job says, oh, I'm not qualified for this. I need a certification for that. I got to go get more school for that because to take that job. Make a job. Okay, I don't have that skill. What skills do I have, right? What am I good at? Your passion is important, but also like what are your strengths? You know?
Well, yeah. What am I good at? What do I love to do? What makes me happy? What motivates me? You don't even have to know exactly where it's going. Kim and I were just saying, you follow your passion and it leads to happiness, success, and money.
I'm gonna not say who said this because I'm gonna misquote it if I do, but the quote is, and I love it, don't ask what the world needs, ask what makes you come alive, because what the world needs is people who've come alive.
Oh, I
forget who said it
that.
Though. Somebody Google that because that's the quote is correct. I just can't remember who said it and I don't want to miss
it. I absolutely love it. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, Kim Green Hiller. Before we move on, I want to mention a couple of Divorce Girl Smiling partners. And I think these people can really help you if you're going through a divorce and you need their services. The first one is Vestor Capital, a wealth management firm, and they also do financial planning. I personally work with Vestor. It's Elaine Moss and Pete Mullins, and I really, really like them and trust them a lot. They did a financial plan for me. They handle my money. They're awesome. Can't say enough good things about them. The next person I want to mention is Jason Price and the Center for Divorce Recovery. The main company is called Affiliates and Counseling. This therapy practice is really, really wonderful. They have, I think, about 25 therapists. They have offices all over Chicagoland. And Jason is just an amazing person. He's the co-founder. And I have met several of the therapists, and I think they're really wonderful, especially for people going through divorce. I want to ask you another question. Why do you think people are so afraid to reinvent themselves?
Well, I really think that if you're getting a divorce, you're reinventing yourself. So, you know, but...
So you don't, you're saying you don't have a choice.
Yeah. I mean, you already are saying I'm going from, you know, being someone's wife to being a single woman, which I still stumble on because it was very embarrassing to me. I did not tell people, to the extent possible, I did not talk about being divorced.
You and I met when you were still married and you never said a word to me. And we were friends for like a year before I even knew you were getting divorced.
Yeah, I did not talk about it. I'll never forget, I was just telling the story the other night, being at a PTA meeting after I had remarried. And this woman who was never very nice goes, yes, it's your turn to speak. Is Kim, is Green, Hiller, Trigger? I get so confused. And I thought, wow, I don't want the district people to know that my, you know, like, yeah. I didn't want anybody to, it's
and
not.
And now you don't even care.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I don't, I really don't care as much, but you see, I was immediately redefined, right? Because I was redefined as a single woman and dealing with that in a suburban culture.
All right, so you bring up a really good point. If you're listening to this and you're going through a divorce, you're already reinventing yourself whether you even realize it or not. So that's a good thing.
So now it's your turn to go, what do I want? What can I be in control of? I can't be in control of that.
But. So in addition to being a divorced woman or man, which you're going to be now, which is, I'm not even saying that in a bad way. It could be a good thing. Or if your spouse left you, it still can be a really good thing, I promise. So now you are a divorced person, but obviously that's not all you want to be. What are you going to do with that? And it doesn't even have anything to do with it. Let's say when you were single, you used to love to ski, but your spouse didn't ski, so you stopped skiing. By the way, that's my story. And then when I got divorced, I started skiing again. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful. And I'm not blaming my ex-husband. That was my fault. I could have still skied. I could have took trips with girls and skied. But I was a young mom. I was having kids. I didn't really have time or money to travel and ski. So skiing is one example of a million things that you could start doing. That and professionally, what do you love to do? Go do it.
Yeah, I remember even just like around the house, like the aesthetics, you know, that I had succumbed to some of the way his mom decorated and was starting to get into my house. And I was like, I get to do it all now. I get to just do what I want to do. And the answer, like why people would be afraid of reinventing themselves. I really think there is this, you know, I mean, money is a big reason that people would say, I can't just go open an improv club. Well, I didn't just open an improv club. You remember that I started very small. I ran a couple of classes at that place. I quickly left there. I ended up working in schools. I ended up, within a year and a half, I was teaching 450 kids a week with a staff of 9.
I remember.
Everywhere. But, you know,
piece
so I did
by piece,
yeah,
I just, little by little.
I just said yes.
Uh-huh. And also, so for me, I went back to work and had a full-time job while doing Divorce Girl Smiling. And I just left it 3 months ago to do this full-time. So you're right, Kim. We're not saying, you know, go put up a shingle and open up a business and get investors or go to a bank. We don't want you to do that. We want you to follow your passions. If you have to go back to work and do something that, oh, it's not your favorite thing in the world, as long as you don't hate it and cry every day because you don't want to go, that's not good either. But if you have a job that you have to do, that's completely understandable. We all do what we need to survive financially. But don't ignore your passions. Don't ignore what you love to do. And someday, like Kim and I, you could be doing your passion full time, is our point.
I couldn't believe. So by the time my ex-husband moved out of my house, my job that I had just kind of stumbled into, I mean, really just, like I said, it wasn't stumbled into, it was saying yes. And it was a lot of work, but it was paying my mortgage. And I never would have conceived of that. I knew I was going to have to work. I was thinking what I could do. I had let my teaching certification lapse, but I used to teach. I was like, oh, I guess I could go back and do that. And all of a sudden, here I was, this dream job. And I'm not kidding. At our fifth anniversary party, I held up my fourth grade diary and I held up this journal that I wrote when I was 22 years old. Fourth grade diary says, I want to be an actress, but mom says I can't. But that's okay because I also want to be a teacher. And I go, been both. And then I held up the other, and it was, I was 22 years old. I go, let me just read to you the preamble of this journal that I dedicated to this topic. My goal is to create a school that uses theater to teach life skills to children.
Wow.
And I said, done. Took me 20 years. I was 42 when I started it. Yeah. I was 41, 42 when I started it. I was 22 when I wrote that journal. Every job I'd done along the way, every detour I'd ever taken made sense. It became useful. You know, I had worked for, I'd taught preschool, I'd been in taught elementary school, I'd taught high school, I'd been an actress, I could use the improv stuff. Like everything I've ever done, I've worked in HR, I now had a staff of 9. All the little detours, all the stuff that didn't seem to make sense, the writing, it helps me do my web page and all the copy that goes with that. Like all the little detours made sense.
That's exactly my story. Same exact thing. I took all these little detours, had all these little odd jobs, and I'm using every skill I learned from everyone I worked for, and I'm pouring it into my business. You're listening to the Divorce Girl Smiling podcast with Jackie Pilisoff and my guest, Kim Green Hiller, who is the founder of the Laughing Academy. She's a divorced woman who reinvented herself. And Kim, before I close out on this, I want to mention two more Divorce Girl Smiling partners. The first one is divorce attorney Anna Krolikowska. I have known Anna for over a decade. Anna is wonderful. She's warm. She's kind. But make no mistake, she's extremely smart and experienced. You can find Anna at annaklaw.com or on Divorce Girl Smiling. The other person I want to mention is Stephanie Sexauer, who is a wills and estate planning attorney. Now, when you get divorced, everyone going through a divorce needs to get a new will and trust. That's where Stephanie can help you, and she can be found at sexhourlaw.com. I really like Stephanie a lot. I actually just gave her a referral, and the person could not have been happier with her. Okay, we are moving on. Kim, before I close out on this, I want to talk about one other benefit of reinventing yourself after divorce, which is going to lead into a whole conversation. I know it. So maybe this isn't the end. When you reinvent yourself and you're doing what you love and following your passion and keeping an open mind, don't you feel like you have more of a chance of falling in love and meeting the right person for you?
Yeah, I've thought about that often. So I had, because I had started my business before.
Yes.
I met my current
husband. You did. So that's what I'm saying. You were so happy doing what you were doing that your mind was not focused on like, I really want to meet someone. I really want to get remarried. And there's a lot of people listening who want that, because I think most people getting divorced, if you loved being married, you were just with the wrong person, then maybe you want to be remarried, and that's great. But don't make being remarried your reinvention of yourself. You don't want to be wife number two. That's not what you want to do. You want to figure out what you love in life and then have a partner to complement that love. And sorry, Kim, I'm not even letting you talk because I'm so excited about this, because I really want people to know that if you follow your heart in your profession, if you do what you love and you focus on your children, the love will come. The romantic love will come to you.
Yeah, honestly, for that first whole year that after I filed, and remember, by then we'd been sleeping in separate bedrooms before I even filed.
So it's really like 3 years.
Yeah, it was really a long time before I actually filed. It was falling apart. But for that first year that it was official, that I had lawyers, and I didn't want to date. I honestly didn't. There was one kiss with a bartender once, but I really just, I knew I was messed up. Like there's too much going on. And literally the funny thing for me is the day before I met the man I'm now married to, I told someone I was ready to start dating. And I literally swear to you, I met him the next day. But I was, and actually when I did meet him, I was ready to just like, oh, we had an encounter and be, that was it. But he kept pursuing me, and thank God. But it definitely did. Like our first official Laughing Academy show was that 2 days after I met him. So he was meeting someone who I was talking about a show I was doing. There was this going on. Like, it was, wow. And I wasn't, you know, like I say, I was ready to walk away from him. I was so excited just that I'd had a kiss and an encounter, you know? But yeah, I think, but the crazy thing is I do have to say his support has given me confidence when I, you know, when I had doubt. I was hired at the Second City at the same time as Tina Fey and Amy Poehler. They host the Golden Globes. I host people on a stage my husband built, you know?
But yeah. I love it. And he's a great guy too, Kim. And that is true. Once you find that romantic connection with the right person, they will help you as well. But I really want people to know, because when I got divorced, I started looking for husband number two immediately and did not think about reinventing myself or my career. I just wanted to be remarried because that was the safe way to go. And I didn't want to go back to work and I had young kids. Worst idea ever. I didn't meet anyone. I got into bad relationships. I was drinking too much. I was so messed up. And when I started really focusing on what I love to do, that's when I got it together, you know.
It's although it's not how I met my husband, I do think if you're engaged in something you enjoy, right? And it for work purposes or whatever, or just even a hobby, join a group, you're surrounding yourself with people who share your passion, right? So I think that maybe you don't meet the person in that group, but through another person or through going to a thing that you went to because of your passion. So you're surrounding yourself with people who are like-minded about something you care about. I think it really does help. It helps open your world. I say this because I never wanted to do this, but friends often come to me for divorce advice when they're out there. And that's what I say. Go do things you enjoy. Join a club. Yes. Like, do this.
You don't have to be on Tinder and Bumble every minute. Meet people. Like, if you want to run a marathon and you join a training group, you could meet your husband there.
You run with someone who goes, hey, come to my party next Saturday. You go to the party, you meet. You know what I mean? You're opening yourself through the thing that you love.
And you're not meeting people at bars or on dating apps. Not that that's a bad way. I'm not saying anything negative. But if you pursue what you love, not only will you be reinventing yourself and be successful professionally and be happy, but you could meet your love of your life that way.
And, you know, just all together, because I think even if you do a Tinder date and you're also engaging in your run club and you're, you know, take an art class you've always wanted to take, then you come to the table at the Tinder table, whatever it is, with more to talk about, like more going on in your life. And that's what people, that's what attracts people. That's a higher vibration, right? Than I've been at home watching rom-coms and thinking about this date, right? Like, go out, live
exactly. it. Exactly. Oh, Kim, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for joining me. So if you want to learn more about Kim Greenhiller and the Laughing Academy, you can go to thelaughingacademy.com. And in closing, what I want to say is, if you're listening to this and you're just starting your divorce or you're going through one and you just feel lost, like, who am I now? Who am I? I'm an ex. You know, I'm a divorced woman with kids. Remember that it is never too late to reinvent yourself. I'm in my mid to late 50s. I always say my mid 50s, but I'm actually older.
Sneaking up behind you. I just turned 53.
You can reinvent yourself if you're 40, 50, 60, or 70. I'm telling you, it is never too late, and it will make you happy, and that will attract people to you, whether it's friends or romantic partners. Don't you think, Kim?
Oh, yeah. And even the people that I find through the work I do, those are the people I want to spend my time with.
Absolutely. And I am here for you. Kim is here for you. We're rooting for you. And we are wishing you all the best. This is the Divorce Girl Smiling Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. If you want to learn more, visit divorcedgirlsmiling.com. And we'll talk to you real soon.